In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. This is our Christmas episode of Running Off at the Mouth. Since today, we'll just say it's earlier in December.
Yeah.
But this will be released on what date, William?
December 23rd.
December 23rd. So Christmas week, we'll have this lovely, entertaining podcast. And we have a full house today. Full house. We're bringing back some... We have Greg in the studio. Greg Manson.
Good evening.
And we are bringing back our original host from season one, Mr. Chris Scott.
Crickets? That's your sound
That's
effect?
That's not what we wanted to do.
Let's try this again. You reintroduce me, Dave.
Okay. And back from season one, our original host, Mr. Chris Scott.
That sounds so much better than the crickets.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank That's you. Right. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Their studio audience.
I mean, we got bleachers back here with people lined up wanting to watch this circus.
Can't blame them.
I mean, Zion might run in here any minute now.
Zion, okay, for those of you, Zion is my dog, and Zion is typically run around here, and he really wants to be on the show. He really wants to make an appearance. He doesn't really bark much. Mostly he wants petted.
He just wants to be here. He's here for a good time.
But he does want to be on the show. I keep telling him we're going to get him a guest appearance.
Zion. It's coming.
But anyway, today's show, we're going to talk about a very humbling, exciting, eye-opening experience that we've had on the Buck 50, and that's working with Chillicothe Correctional Institute and their Helping Hands team. And Chris, I'm just going to let you tee it up because you were the one who kind of first introduced this through some of your connections and how that unfolded. So tell us how it started.
Well, started a long time ago because my old buddy, my old pal from church, Clark Goble. And Clark, you know, we're at church together two or three times a week. And he says, you know, man, that drug-free clubs program you guys do and the Buck 50 thing. And I want to run a race in the prison. And I'm like, what? Can you come out to the prison and talk to these guys? And Dave, nobody had ever told me to go to prison, and I've never in my life thought about wanting to go to prison for anything.
It's. I mean, when you live in Chillicothe, you drive up and down 104, you see, you know, CCI on the east side and RCIs on the west side, and there's big fences.
Two state penitentiaries, one medium, one max, a little bit of everything. You know, we got a lot of friends, obviously, the friends of the Buck 50 that work inside the walls, the fences of those prisons, and we love every single one of them, but I honestly just wasn't too keen about going into prison. And so I was kind of fishing around with the committees of, hey Dave, who do, I called Huggins. I'm like, who needs to go to prison? who do we got on the team that we can send to prison? Because Big Daddy don't want to go to prison.
I when you were talking to me about it, I was like, well, you can take care of that, Chris. You know Mr. Goble.
That was the easy Huggins answer, and basically that equates to I ain't going to prison either, bro. That's
what I've lived a long time and not crossed that threshold, and I like to kind of keep it that way.
Yeah. So honestly, I tell you, I probably drug my feet on that one a little bit. You know, I don't get to be near as active in the off season of the race that I'd like to be because I'm busy and out of town a lot. But I mean, honestly, I prayed about it. And just you know, go last two or three more times. I prayed again. I'm like. Oof. And I went, you know, I went.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you go, you went and talked to them before the actual first buck 10, correct?
Yeah, they were just trying to organize it. There's a group inside, and we'll talk a lot about them probably throughout the evening. And maybe we'll have Goebel come on someday and talk about those groups a little more in detail. But, like, there's this group called Helping Hands. They really try to help each other out in there. I mean, the guys are just helping guys because they're, you know, when you, and we can talk about how, you know, what these guys are when you get into prison, what it is. But, look, yeah, so the first day. There's no race. Goebel's a runner, right? And he's a trail runner. And he, you know, he just had this dream of having a race inside the prison. But he started telling me, he's like, these guys have so much passion, like this Helping Hands group. They do some other projects in the community. And I'd had two or three other people tell me over the years since we started the Buck 50, since we started Drug Free Clubs, that, you know, you should talk to the guys at the prison because those guys raise some money sometimes for some things in the community. They did the backpacks for kids. They've done just several different projects. And the state's real good about working with them on that. But you're talking about groups of guys, what'd they say, $5, $6, $10 a month, $20 a month, and raising a bunch of money for different things. So
let me ask this. When you went in the first time, did you go like through that main building and then you go through the big iron bars gate? And then did you hang a left and go to that building that you and I went to?
Mm-mm, no.
That's not where you went the first time.
And I should walk you through this because, I mean, when you're going
talk about it. You got verbally described these people because most people have not been inside the walls of a prison.
And if you've never been past CCI, it's on 104 North of Chillicothe. It's the old Camp Sherman. Originally used to be an army camp here in Chillicothe. None of the buildings but the main building is part of the original old Camp Sherman. So it's very – it looks haunted. I mean, you know, when you look at it, it's big –
well, and you think, I feel like I think Shawshank when I walk in there.
Exactly.
Like it, this big historic block masonry, lots of ornate woodwork inside on the doors. Mm.
William, we should have had a sound effect ready, like the bar is closing behind us.
We should have.
Yeah, we should have had that. So anyway, I go, and I took, and you don't think about these things, but like your pockets have to be empty. You know, nothing goes in with you but your car keys, right? And then you, I mean, like nothing. And I didn't realize that, but ahead of time that day, I had gotten permission to take in an iPad because I wanted to share some video with the guys, you know, the documentary that we'd made, the little Spike TV piece with the kids. I wanted to share that when we got in. So I took my iPad. And by the way, there's a more iPad story later. So I didn't think much about it. It's the first time I took the iPad in, but it was clear. So just me, my iPad, my car keys and my old Buck 50 hat, right? And you get in there, and it's intimidating. I mean, I'm a big guy, right? But like, it's just intimidating the whole process because you're going to go in, you're going to, you know, you got to sign in, you got to show ID, you got to get your hand stamped, you got to get your hand checked here, you got to wear the badge a certain way. You
go through the metal detector.
You go through the metal detector. You show your hand under the light again. I guess maybe we shouldn't tell all the secrets of how they check you in and out of prison, but. Like, you got to do this whole process thing, and you got to be escorted the whole time.
You're like a little kid because you're told what to do the whole time you're in there.
Oh, yeah.
This is not William, when he was in there with us, he had a bunch of questions, and I said, William, this is not the place you ask questions. This is the place you do what you're told to do.
I was told very clearly you don't ask anybody what they're in there for, and I knew that anyway, kind of just, you know, knowing so many people that's worked in the correction. You know, throughout Southern Ohio that I know.
Yeah.
So, no, I went in and then we hiked over to, you can see it when you drive by and it's like the chapel, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really neat. When in there, it's their multi-denominational chapel where they do services and things. So, get in there and man, there's like 50 or 75 dudes.
I didn't know you had
uniforms, right?
Yep.
And I've got my chest kind of puffed up, and I'm a big guy. You know, I can make sure they see my tattoos and stuff, you know, and I'm, you know, just exerting my dominance, right?
Yeah.
I shake hands too, man, because I think I've seen some people would not shake hands with somebody in prison. Why wouldn't you do that, man? These are people too. I had a lot of respect for those guys, especially by the end of that day. But they talked about the one organization, the Helping Hands organization, kind of what they do and who the groups were. There were different groups inside the prison that they're really trying to just make a better life for themselves, people outside, and in the future. And it was pretty impressive. But I shared with them the video we'd made that we have online. You can find it on the Buck 50 website. You can find it over on the Facebook page. And also that Spike TV page, the piece that we have online. I think we have it. We'll throw it up again on the Buck 50 page so you can find it. It's pretty impressive to watch still today. But I looked around that room, and it's just like all the other rooms, Dave, that we've been in and shown some of those videos, especially that Spike TV piece. There's a little dribble eyes.
when those kids start talking as powerfully as they talk about how important this Drug-Free Clothes of America program is to them, I think even us who wanted to see it happen never thought it would happen the way they received it.
No. Obviously I was right there in the middle of that shoot that day with Spike TV, and it's amazing. And what's really amazing about that piece, if you do go back and watch it, and we'll put it up on the Buck 50 page on Facebook, and there was no prep for those kids. What you see is only about, what is that, 6 minutes long, 5 minutes long?
Yeah.
As a 2-hour session, and it was absolutely positively from the heart. And when you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. But in that room that day, those guys felt that. And what you had... And it hit me at that point. It's like, I'm looking at a bunch of dads like me, except they screwed up in life. And they made a mistake that maybe we kept a kid from making a mistake from. They've got kids on the outside. They do not want their kids or any other kid, as far as that goes, to take the wrong path that they took. And they had a lot of questions. And you could feel the energy, man, in the room. And you got all these guys, 75, 80 guys in here. That whole place was like full. And here's me, right? And it was powerful. I mean, it was just so overwhelmingly powerful. Some of them talked about faith, but they talked about their own kids and they asked questions. And, you know, that idea came up that day, and we'll find out more in the future. Even about, because Goebel was with me and we started answering a lot of the questions, had questions for both of us. But maybe even implementing something inside the prison like we have in the schools for a type incentive program. Because what I found out and didn't know that day, and I guess I know this happens, is they have substance problems being smuggled into the prisons at times. And I don't know how much we're allowed to talk about state. I mean,
it happens.
Yeah.
And it's a problem and they know it. But I think that simple concept, just like our kids are following, where I take a drug test, I prove that I'm drug free, I get a reward as simple as some chips and candy. And that makes
me
feel good.
It's much like a school in there, Dave. I mean, you've been in there. You know, it's a lot like a school environment.
You know, the one thing like as you're talking and I think back, you know, it's probably been about a 2-year process that we've been kind of going through this with CCI. I feel as ignorant about what was going on inside of CCI as I did about the whole opioid epidemic in 2015 when I was learned about that. Just clueless. Mm-hmm. Didn't understand it, didn't know about it. And as we have had the opportunity to go in there and talk to these guys multiple different times, there's been a slow positive progression of like we're trying to size them up, so to speak, as to who they are and what they're doing, but they've been doing the same things to us, like who are these two jokers. And you know, yeah, they, you know, run a race and they try to keep kids off drugs, but you know, at this point we've been in there several different times now. Of all the Buck 50 stories we have, and we've got lots, I think this is my favorite, because I never would have dreamt that the race would help us inspire people who are incarcerated and make them feel good about helping people on the outside of that fence.
Well, and beyond that, the program that, you know, the Stroke Free Cups program that we brought to all the schools in Ross County, and, you know, in the infancy of that, never dreaming or thinking about that you would have these people would want to do that passion, but instead putting that program inside that prison and just the passion of those guys, man. I mean, it is hard to describe by the end of that day, and you've seen it when you've been there. You got some humans. Like, these all people have a soul, and they are so passionate about making sure that someone else doesn't get in the position they're in today inside that prison.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike. I remember when I walked in the first time, and I was kind of like you, where I was by myself, and I remember going through the Shawshank looking main building, and then next thing you know, I'm like walking through the yard, and I'm kind of like looking around, and I watch way too many movies because I'm feeling like I'm about to get shanked in any second, which is
and it's an open environment, by the way. Really, it's an open yard.
That's like a terrible thing to say.
I think that was the biggest shock to me, is because we got in before the prisoners were allowed out of their rooms, wherever they are. So we're just walking through the empty yard, and it's almost like a horror movie almost of types, where all of a sudden you hear, like, I don't even remember if there were like a bell or a sound, but it's like all of a sudden there's like hundreds of incarcerated men walking right towards you. And you're just like, what?
So yeah, when I first went in, I mean, I was
kind of William was sweating a little bit because he's kind of pretty.
Yeah. But we've met with these guys inside multiple times, had multiple conversations. You got to experience the first Buck 10 in September of 2022.
You missed it.
None of us were there. We were still outside the fence being scared. But after you being in there a couple times and showing that enthusiasm, I think that helped us jump in with both feet. And it's been, you know, we're going to continue to talk about this cool relationship that we've been building since then. But tell us about the first race.
Well, after that first talk, I was blessed. I mean, when I left, I was blessed. If I think there's, I got a post on Facebook. I wrote a page, and I don't write big Facebook posts, but that day I was like, I was blessed by being there with those guys. And
you know, it's funny you say it, because the longest post I've ever made is about CCI.
Really?
Probably right after the Buck 10 this year. Yeah.
You're moved to do that. I mean, you just have, like you said, all these perceptions and things, and you get in there and you just meet a bunch of really, I don't care what they've done, right? You don't ask, but I don't care.
I don't either.
When I'm in there right then, and there's probably some bad, and I was told, you know, I've been told by some of the guards that's with this stuff, you know, you're amongst people who've committed murder. You're amongst this. And I mean, there's certain types of crimes that they don't get the freedom, you know, and that's a pretty minimal security type place, just so you kind of get a picture. We're just, like William said, we're out in the yard, and everybody's moving in different directions and this and that. But of course, that was the second race, William. You guys were there with me. The first one, I was in that same scenario with nobody, just me and some guards and, you know, some of the staff that I knew, administrators and things, and they're all kind of standing back on the side, kind of keep, because it was a first for them too. But man, we had all kinds of people. We were over on the track. So you can see when you drive by 104, there's a track on that.
It's on the south side.
End. Yeah.
And you had about, 40 people, and they ran what they called the Buck 10.
Buck 10. They did a 10K race. They
ran 10K race.
The compound, and then they started doing laps. There were just as many people, if not more, outside at that event. We only had 40 runners, but man, we had the cheering crowd. We had music playing. I got a buddy in there. He's the hype man. You know, I'm usually the one on the microphone at all these events and stuff. And this dude was a hype man inside. And he's getting everybody fired up. Big old dude.
He's a phenomenal person.
Oh man, just he's a blessing in itself. Just getting in there, but man, it was excitement. And just watching the passion and watching those guys cheer for each and every one of those guys as they were finishing the race. But then I started looking at the runners. And like, there's all ages. And I was talking to some of the COs, and like, that kid just turned 19. Like, man, that's What if we could have reached that kid in drug-free clubs? Would he have been here? Because it was a drug charge. I did find out. I didn't ask him, but somebody said he's in here on a drug charge.
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 19 years old in prison. Looked like he was 12.
Yeah. Right?
And then there was the guys that looked like somebody like me, not a runner, that was out there just giving it their all, right? One dude, I'm telling you, runners, you guys know about this. And I have a running wife, and I've been in the Buck 50 for years, and I know quite a bit about running. I just run my mouth. We know this. But this dude had on some polyester or something, cut-off sleeve shirt. And it was hot, by the way. This was October. It was like 90. Wasn't it October? I can't remember what month that was. September.
You did. I know it was hot.
It was hot. They weren't quite prepared for how hot it was. We kind of ran low on water. This dude ripped his nipples off running. I mean, he was bleeding. I was hurting just watching him. And then you had the ones that were being ultra competitive. And I'm looking at some of these athletes out there running, you know, because we have this in the Buck 50 too. We have these people who don't look like they're running. Anybody can do it, right? And anybody could do this one inside the prison. So it was just, you know, we've got these, we call you guys the 5 and 6 minute milers. You had some freak shows inside the prison that were fast too. And I'm looking at these guys going, man, this guy could be playing D1 right now. I'm just looking at these guys that just giving it all. Now, I'm going to tell you what's different in there. And one of them guys had a brand new pair of Ons or Sauconys or whatever.
There's not a lot of Brooks.
Equipment, no Brooks. I mean, like that just didn't exist. It was, you know, some issue tennis shoes or whatever thing they may have had to run in. There wasn't any super stylish running gear and all the things. I mean, these guys are running in some gym shorts, and like I said, that one guy, that poor polyester or whatever,
run what you got, man.
Yeah. Oh man, that makes my nipples still hurt.
But initially,
I said nipples twice.
They had the first Buck 10 in 2022. And they raised about $5,300 for the Buck 50, which was amazing.
Big check. I cannot not talk about that one guy that's the artist. Because we've seen a lot of his work now. Dave just showed me a book thank you card they made for us. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Piece of artwork that they put together for us. But that guy painted that, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to see a bunch of his work when we went in that one meeting. We went over in the dorms. We actually went in the, like, where they, in the bunks.
Okay.
Like, remember that meeting we went to with the group?
And I've not been that part.
Yeah, you were. We went over there, and we were in that room.
With the building on the north side.
Yeah, on the north side. Okay. There was dorms in there.
Oh, okay.
And then that was where I went the very first time. Yeah. He'd painted some of those doors and things. But he come up to me and goes, "You see the banner?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's pretty cool." And he said, "Yeah, I painted that. I tried to get your running man just right." And he'd made this Buck 10 banner. It was like canvas, and he had painted it and airbrushed it. It was amazing, right?
Oh, it's beautiful.
The talent was just impeccable artist.
Well, and it's the same guy if you see the big 150 numbers on race day that they made for us last year out of plywood. They're 6 foot high and 4 foot wide, so you won't miss them. If you're at Edina High School, the start-finish line.
Most everybody had their picture taken with them last year.
Yeah, but so those guys made them, and then they, all the artwork on there is done by him as well.
And that's a story in itself. I mean, those guys were so impressed that something they did was out in the middle of the community, out in the middle of the race, and everybody taking pictures with them. That was amazing itself. But yeah,
loved
that
it.
Guy, he was so proud of that work and wanted to thank us for giving. I mean, he's thanking me for this, like giving them this opportunity to participate in this thing inside. And again, what happened that day after I left all by myself, none of my other Buck 50 brethren that's here today, we're all still not going to prison with
we're me. Still scared.
I was sweating. I wore my black Buck 50 shirt. It was hot. And I left blessed. I left overwhelmingly blessed again.
I remember you calling me afterward, and you were pretty adamant about me getting involved and going in there.
I'm like, you got to go.
That was probably the final, like, okay, I'll do it. And yeah. I did go in a few months. Yeah, once I got through drug testing.
Now that Chris made it, I think I can go in.
Yeah.
He's been in there twice.
He went in twice. And didn't die. Yeah.
Twice, still came back out.
They let him go. I think my wife tried to call and see if they could make arrangements to at least keep me overnight.
But let's fast forward to what we all experienced in September, just a couple months ago, for the second annual Buck 10 10K race. So at that point, Greg and I can share with you a mildly funny story of that shakedown security situation where we had some race day supplies to take in 2 days before the Buck 10 because they needed to go through it before it was issued to the runners. They went from like 30 or 40 participants. They doubled that. They had about 70 or 80 runners, and then they had like another 300 walkers. And so we provided them a similar goodie bag that our kids get on initial test day that has chips and M&Ms and suckers. We had some gushers in there, had some cowtails in there, a few other things, but we basically made up gift bags just like we did. And the plan was we were supposed to take those items, put them into the back of a box truck, and that box truck was going to then drive the supplies inside the fence. Well, the day before that, Greg and I were working in the Buck 50 storage unit, and we had been cutting some materials, and my truck was full of tools. And so when
saws, chains.
So when it was discovered that the white box truck wasn't available, and now Dave has to drive the Buck 50 trailer and his truck inside the fence, it was mildly comical because we got inside the fence and it was, this can't go in there and that can't go in there, and like literally my whole truck got emptied out onto a couple park benches. But we had circular
saws. Dave found
some
things that he hadn't seen for a while.
Pliers, wire cutters.
Almost like you were going in with a plan.
It was the exact thing you do not want to take
that
into prison.
That is the reason he was scared. Took all that.
He had to prepare if he was going to break out.
If I got stuck, I did have the materials I needed.
And that's just what was in the truck. You don't know what he keistered. And you got to go to prison to understand what that term means.
There was none of that going on. I was nervous. So anyway, we drive the supplies in there, including the big 10 number and the runner guy that they made for us. We had that for the Buck 10. I felt like that was appropriate. Buck 50 tent went in there. But then, as William just started to mention earlier, it's race day. So race day, we all get there at 6 a.m. It's dark.
Yeah, I think Dave, I texted Dave. I thought I was there way too early. And if you know Dave, to the extent I have at this point, you can always tell he's in a good mood or a bad mood. And you just want to tread lightly. So I didn't know, like, obviously I'm going into prison now. Like, there's enough things that I'm on edge about. And I text Dave and I'm like, maybe he's here. I just don't see him. And I say, Dave, or I text him, I say, are you here? And I get a response back and it's along the lines of,
well, do you see my white truck and a Buck 50 trailer?
And at that point I knew, I was like, okay, I better just quit asking
questions.
We'd
been standing there for 10 minutes and we knew if we were late and weren't there, because you got to go in at the same time anyway.
It was probably that they wanted us there at 6:30, so Dave told us 6, so we would be there at 6. But
6:15 was the real time. What did I tell you? Be there at 6?
I think so, yeah.
What time I get there? 6:18?
I think you were about right on time. We were okay. Just the early ones.
Okay. Yeah, because there were our guards meeting us to get us inside the gate.
Yeah, that's an interesting process. You know, I don't have much experience going in prisons, thank goodness. But you walk in, and I mean, obviously for reasons that you can come to your own conclusions about, the rule is, you know, you have to wear jeans going in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I didn't. Pants are required. I just wear pants, and then here comes, do-do-do-do-do, they got their shorts on.
But
William thought there was a cavity search.
Oh, no, definitely not. No cavity searches, but it I don't want to say it's as if it feels like it's invasive, but it's like, you know, we obviously know it's not maximum security, but it's like everything is subject to search. It's not like we were taking a ton of stuff in, but, you know, keys, iPads, wallets, boy, phones, iPads, everything.
I forgot to tell you, the first time you went in, Dave, when we went into that meeting, that was a similar meeting I went to the first time, but this was for year two. Do you remember the iPad?
Yeah, because I wasn't on the list. Everything has to be itemized on the list of what you're bringing in. They have an IT guy that comes and checks out your gear. He has to be available to come check out your gear. This is a... Heck, I was asking if I could bring in a pen just to write down times the day of the race.
That iPad was a big flipping deal.
Yeah, because you didn't get it pre-approved ahead of time.
Goebbels, the assistant warden. I didn't think it was a big deal.
Like, every day matters.
My best buddy is the assistant warden. I can just roll in here with my iPad. Man, that one guy was like the CEO of the year, too, and he was upset about this unauthorized iPad. It was not going to go in.
That's right.
I'm glad you bring that up, and I know we're trying to kind of give an idea to our listeners of what it actually like going in there. You bring up the iPads and why it is a big deal. Like, if they're not approved, you know, you run the risk of a security breach, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's not, I'm not going to act like I understand it. But one thing I realized that I thought was almost intriguing or impressive, I should say, are the guys that were running the Buck 10 and were carrying around these giant prison issued like tablets, MP3 players, and they're like the size of
iPad.
Yeah, the size of an iPad, but they're thicker and they're clear, mm-hmm, for obvious reasons, and they're running with them.
Yeah,
with not just earbuds, but like full
headphones,
full on headphones.
Yeah, and they didn't have like fanny packs or whatever. They had crafted these ways of holding them, like, or strapping into, yeah, their cells with tape and other things for this whole event.
Greg, what was your first thoughts when you like walked in that morning? I mean, it's dark, 6:15 in the morning.
Well, I guess my experience is a little bit different just because I have been inside prison before, you know, with the last name of Manson. No. Never been incarcerated. That wasn't on the right. Never been incarcerated.
That's good.
Myself.
That's good.
But I have been inside prison before because our church choir at Brookside has gone in and sang inside the prison before for the.
So Greg is the guy we needed originally to be tough. We didn't even know this.
Now it's still, you know, a little unsettling once you walk through all of those metal doors and, you know, hear all that closing behind you and know you're not getting out unless somebody lets you back out of here. So,
were you in that meeting at the main building that day? You were at that meeting. There was another time we went in, and we went in that main old building that is from Camp Sherman.
Yeah, we sat up there around the big. That was with the leadership crew.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you remember that? I freaked out a little bit. Were you there, Greg? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So William wasn't. I'll tell you, we're sitting there, and they're doing remodeling on this building, and that noise that was making.
Oh, they did have a siren go off.
Well, they had a siren
or
go off.
Or alarm.
And Greg and Dave and I are all looking at each other, like, and the rest of them are just like completely chill. Nothing's going on. Like, this is normal for these sirens to go off. And like, that made me a little nervous. But don't you remember they were doing the construction downstairs, and whatever kind of floor sander or whatever they were running, it sounded like fighter jets.
Well, when it kept setting an alarm off,
yeah, it
or
set
something.
The alarm because that was what was setting, yeah, the alarm off, the smoke from the sawdust. But it sounded like with just these fighter jets were just going over the prison. I said, "Are we at war or what?" They, oh no, they're remodeling downstairs or upstairs there.
But race day,
running off of the mouth, guys,
running off the mouth. Race day for the second annual Buck 10, bar none. One of the greatest days of my life. And I was humbled, ignorant, and learned a lot that day.
I agree.
You know, we're there before the sun comes up. We're kind of sitting on those concrete steps, waiting to be told what to do and when we can do it to get supplies out. There were groups starting to set up sound equipment. They were setting up guitars, drum sets, keyboards, which I really wasn't, I mean, I was kind of following, picking up what they were putting down, so to speak, but I wasn't expecting for them to be as great artists as they were. Basically, like when you said, they did they have that live music in year one?
They had some, but it wasn't like the whole time we were there in year two. Like there was this top level production artist playing music, and they had like, what, they have four or five different artists.
Yeah,
but that one guy, I thought, oh, they're playing a CD, or you know, they're playing a track.
Yeah,
heck no, I look up and this dude's ripping, rapping, and like, you know, busting it out. And
yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, so that, so they're setting out equipment,
real deal.
We're establishing, we're handing out race bibs. There's a registration list. They were supposed to read, it was really just like our regular races, guys, because people were coming up, said they pre-registered, but they really didn't pre-register, but we're going to get you in on race day. That was a pretty common thing.
It felt like we were just at a regular event. Regular registration was going like one of our race days. Yeah.
These gentlemen were more respectful than about any group of people that I've worked with at a race.
That would have been the difference.
That's the difference. Everybody stood in line, asked questions, raised their hands, kind, courteous.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am.
It was almost, I mean, when they said form a line here coming up to the table, there was a line immediately. Like, there was no milling around, just a big blob. Like, it was a line. Like,
you weren't over there for the first hour or two because he had his back against the wall the whole time.
That was some of the things that like I was impressed by. Like I started to feel really comfortable and really excited to be there, and it really did feel like a regular race. We're handing out bibs. The sun's coming up. There's some music going here and there.
It was almost odd because, or not almost odd. It was very odd at first because we had individuals from Helping Hands that were there, again, acting as if they were just, I mean, they are normal people. And I was interacting with a few of them there for a while, and I was like, wait, do you guys work here?
Yeah,
race staff.
And then I'm just all of a sudden, I'm like, no, they definitely don't work here. They're with the Helping Hands group. But I mean, it was a... They were like, we're here to work, basically. I mean, we were there to work, too.
Yeah, through some conversations prior to the race, and then the morning of is when we kind of put together our timing, how we were going to time this thing. And it worked out in the end. And these guys are pretty fast runners.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a check presentation early on, which this year was a $10,000 check. $10,000 from CCI, which makes them a gold level sponsor. There'll be a Helping Hands or a CCI logo on the back of the 2025 Buck 50 race day shirt. That's so exciting to have that group of people so integral into the Buck 50. But then all of a sudden the runners take off, and I was impressed by how, I mean, Greg, you're a runner. Man. You run every day. What's your running streak right now? Let's document it.
1,801.
1,801.
Coming up on 5 years at the end of the month.
Where's that put you on the Garmin record books?
Oh, like on the streak registry, I'm like number 1,600 something.
That's still pretty good worldwide, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
Not bad. Not bad.
But pretty impressive group of runners.
Yes.
80 plus, I think we had that day.
How many walkers did we have?
Like 300.
So we're talking 400 people on the track. You know, they had a separate track for the walkers.
But yeah.
It was, and then how many people were watching? You know, I mean, it was just the band and people playing music and the staff. And
I mean, I'm certainly not fast, but there was a lot of those guys that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with.
I think for the top three in the four race categories they had, so we're talking 12 different runners. I might have had four counters. So it might have been 16 different runners. Nobody ran more than 50 minutes on a 10K. That's not that's a pretty daggone good time.
Some of those guys, when they get out, they're looking for teams. I'll tell you that, too, with the Buck 50 teams. You know, I remember the first race, and that was one of the things that impacted me pretty big, too. There's a young guy. He talked to me a little bit. He was from Cincinnati, and most of these guys are from Ohio. And he said, now, could a guy like me run in the Buck 50? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, like somebody who's been incarcerated. Felon. I said, well, absolutely, man. I mean, we love having stories.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, you, he said, I'm not getting out till May. So he wasn't getting out till after the race that year. I said, I'm going to tell you what, you get out, you get on Facebook, you get a hold of us, we'll put you in the Buck 50 group on Facebook.
That's
and
right.
You will find a team, man. Somebody loved to have you. That got fast, too.
Yeah. The one thing that was surprising to me about being in prison, once again, I watched too many movies, is blacks and whites are not super segregated across the yard like I would have thought. They were...
Yeah, races. That's something that stood out to me the first time I was there, too. And I've talked to Goble and some of the staff about it. You know, there's segregation. I mean, there's the gangs and things that are in the prison. But out there in the yard, that whole place is not what you picture.
No. I remember one guy, one black guy was about 6'5", tall guy. And he thought he had signed up, hadn't. I told him, I'll make sure we'll get you in. Because William and I had some pre-planning. We planned for extra runners. This guy got in the race. I remember when he finished and being kind of excited and proud that, you know, he was able to get to run his 10K that day and be involved in the Buck 10. But then as the race went on, we're coming down to the final competitors. And there were these two white guys about 100 yards out. Everybody was cheering them on. And this dude runs back out from the finish line. Mm-hmm. To run in with them. And that was my best part of the day right there. Yeah. Like people
at that point, we weren't in the prison anymore. It was just like you said, it was a race. They were runners. It was the runner, you know, group attitude. And it's like, hey, I got to help this guy get to the finish line. And, you know, the crowd
and that's
everybody that was watching was cheering and yelling.
But isn't that cool about our at the Buck 50? We're inside that prison at the Buck 10. We weren't in the prison anymore, but there wasn't black or white. There wasn't left or right. You know, that's one cool thing. I mean, we see politics so affected in every aspect of our lives these days. It doesn't happen at the race. I mean, like, it's so cool that it's just what it is. I mean, kind of like when Dave and I joined Rotary and where this all started, and we're like, we don't even know who's what and whatever. It's just people trying to do good things. And that's what we've seen inside that prison with just a bunch of guys trying to do something good and having fun in the meantime.
It's been so inspirational because it has shown me good things can come from everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And if you have the heart to do good things and you put forth some effort and you're willing to work with some other folks, then you're going to, you know, have the results that we've started to see. And it's been amazing to think that the Buck 50 has now reached inside the fence to help those people feel like they're making an impact outside the fence.
And I want to piggyback off of that. I think my biggest takeaway, and I still have not found the right way to sum up what that was like being in there, but I think one of the biggest things is I almost feel ashamed, not only for myself, but everybody else, that we're not doing enough. Like, shame on us. Like, they're in what could be one of the worst situations and circumstances that you can be in, and they're making it their goal day in and day out to support our program. How fortunate we are to have that support. But also, like, shame on us, too. Like, I have the ability to go wake up every day, have the freedom to do whatever I want, you know, within...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, within certain limits. But, like, I can pick to do whatever I want. I have access to whatever I want. And even though still working with this group for the Buck 50 and, you know, supporting Drug-Free Clubs of America, I still... 100% of my time is not dedicated to this.
Yeah.
Maybe not even maybe not even 50% of my time is dedicated to this.
Basically, just shows you can do.
You can.
Everyone
do,
can do
we
good.
We can all do so much more.
Takes
we can
time.
Do good, and we can change.
Well, and it's giving those guys a reason too, because I mean, you to do things, you have to have a why and a reason. And some of those guys, when you're in that environment, you don't have a why, you don't have a reason. Some of them have no family, some of them did. But even when they had family and had things they did, if they didn't have this, they still have no way to impact that outside. And a lot of them did it too. You know, there's a couple of them, and this is probably one of the biggest things for me, was that they said they did it because they wanted to make their kids proud of them too. And they could do something from where their position was in life to make a difference in the world.
And tell this, be able to have a story to yep. share with their family.
Yep.
You said it earlier, and it's been interesting because we are so grateful to these guys who are helping us through raising money, providing inspiration, and yet the thanks, just like this thank you card that they sent us that has, you know, hundreds of signatures on it, you know, they continue to thank us. And I think it's, you know, just our willingness to cross over that fence and go inside and have a conversation. That one time that you and I went in together there, probably over the summer, right before the second buck 10, they probably had 30, 40 guys in the room that day. And I literally walked around and shook every single person's hand that was in that room and thanked them for their time and thanked them for their willingness to help us and encourage them to keep doing good things. And I couldn't do it fast enough. I just thought, what an opportunity I have here to, you know, show some respect to some people that probably don't get it a whole lot on a regular basis.
And on the flip side of that, at the end of the conclusion of the race this year, the winners that were presented with the wooden plaques, I told them all congratulations and thank you, but they weren't willing to accept that it was a no thank you.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you don't know what to do with that.
I guess to me, at the end of the day, that tells all of us, we're in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. And I really don't know where this road will finish. I just know there's a lot more good that's going to come out of this relationship with the Buck 50 and Chillicothe Correctional Institute.
And the Ohio Department of Corrections. I mean, it got out, and, you know, they had some people come in from, you know, Tim came and ran. He's a staff member from another facility. And putting out a challenge. I mean, it's they're on a mission to grow what they've done so far. Just so you guys, listeners, know, the goal of the inmates, the goal of the people inside that prison are to be the number one sponsor. That's what they want to be, the title sponsor.
Yeah, they want to be the presenting sponsor for the Buck 50.
Yeah. But, you know, they're looking for big things. It's just like the, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but putting in a program inside the prison to help change the culture. And everybody in there is excited about that. If that works and they can do that to where it gives the inmates something to look forward to, because 98% of them are doing their time trying to make a difference in the world from the inside, doing what they can do, or 95% of them. And if we can change the culture, it helps not only the inmates in there, the staff, the people who get to have to work in there every day. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, it's a dark place. I mean, when you go in and you're in that environment, I was supposed to go to work in the prisons when I was like 19, and I'm glad I didn't. I just don't think I can handle it every day. And God bless all of you listening that do it every day for doing that work and doing what you got to do inside there to make a living for your family, but to take care of those people in there. That's a job, and it's a psychological trauma. I mean, it's tough.
You can tell those people care, though. They definitely almost kind of have that, like, what I see a lot in the nonprofit world is you just have a passion for what you're doing and you want to help other people. Yeah. I definitely have felt that every time I talk to anyone in there.
A lot of the staff do.
Yeah.
But if we get, you know, but changing the culture, I mean, it's when we started this, it changed cultures in schools. We've seen it We watched it happen. Shocked how fast it happened in schools.
Yeah.
And then seeing that culture change in that type environment is just, that blew my mind. I mean, it really did. I mean, where we started from to where we're at and what the future could be with the things that are going on. And that's something we all can share, whether you're a runner in the Buck 50, you're on the board, you're somebody who just in the community that puts signs out in your yard for the runners coming by. I mean, that's something we all share of how this thing is so much bigger than any of us. It's so much bigger than just Ross County and what's happening with it. Because I know some of you are listening around the world, right? And you should be putting a team together. I mean, like, you should be coming.
You should be in Chillicothe, Ohio in April every year.
Got to get signed up.
Well, the only thing I could say is I've been humbled and blessed to have been a part of this thing and meet these great people working their way back into, they're going through a process. And I certainly appreciate, you know, anything else?
I'm ready. William, Greg? I'm just ready to go back next year.
Yep. Agreed.
The date's been established. Let me see if I can tell you what it is. It's pretty close to the same. So either the 18th or the 20th.
I mean, that's a surprising thing.
I'm going to put this out there just in case somebody's listening. I'd love to find a documentarian that could work with the state to go in and film the stories, because there are some serious stories. I mean, that's one thing we didn't talk much about today, is just like some of the stories that the individuals come up and wanted to share with us, you know, and talk about their families and talk about, you know, what it means to them and to thank us. I mean, William was talking about the thankfulness that a lot of them had. I mean, I'm talking about men in tears coming up and appreciating the opportunity to do something.
September 19th, 2025.
Love to make a documentary on that. So if anybody's listening and has the passion for that, get a hold of us.
919, Buck 10, number 3.
I mean, most people, they're not really looking forward to go back to prison once they come out once. I'm ready to go back.
I concur.
I apologize for the off-color humor, but if I didn't, you guys are so boring sometimes that people would went to sleep.
How many episodes have you listened to this year?
I was talking about my off-color humor, and just to make it clear, I haven't listened to any. But
see,
William, so. Yeah,
our William, ratings are up through the roof since William's come on board.
But with William, really was not worried about a cavity search, but he was with his back against the wall for a
there
long
for
time.
A little bit. We were sitting
he was
up on
sweating,
the...
dude. It wasn't even you've seen him, Greg. He was over there. He was sweating a little bit, and he's a young feller. He hasn't had a lot of experiences in life, and he'd never been to prison before.
Thank you all for being in here. Thank you to Chillicothe Correctional Institute and the Helping Hands team and everyone who's helping make the Buck 50 a better organization.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!